This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Sumitra Selvaraj and Lim Soo Ann. Before the break, we were talking about the Southeast Asian Poetry Writing Month. Now, in relation to our second story, we are asking you on Twitter,
do you talk to your plants? So the one that received the highest vote is I Am Groot at 46%. No surprise there. But 22% of you say that actually, yes, all the time you do talk to your plants. 19% of you say, no, of course you don't. While 13% of you said that you do, but you do it secretly. So you can take that poll or tweet us any of your thoughts at on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp them in at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 0377-332900.
So, like a lot of those people who answered yes, Lincoln Tays is a self-confessed plant lover. In fact, he loves them so much that he is a botanist at the University of California in Santa Cruz. But what Lincoln Tays does not love is this notion that plants have feelings because to him, well, they're just vegetal beings.
Is that an actual term, vegetal?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is.
I think. She says confidently.
I like it though, vegetal beings.
But perhaps we're not concentrating on the right word here, because beings doesn't seem quite the right word to use.
Fair enough.
Because the crux of Tai's dissatisfaction leads back to a 2006 article in the well-respected Trends in Plant Science journal, and that introduced the field of plant neurobiology. So plant neurobiology is based on the idea that plants, which do not possess brains, can handle information in ways that resemble sophisticated animal nervous systems. So this thinking implies that plants could feel what humans would term happiness or sorrow or pain, as well as make intentional decisions and even possess consciousness.
But Lincoln Tace says no, plants are not conscious, and he absolutely insists that plants do not have feelings.
Yep.
I'm beginning to wonder whether he likes plants
honestly. He says he absolutely loves them, and he loves them. And he says in the article, he loves them for being plants, not for being like humans.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
So he and a group of like-minded colleagues have recently published an opinion piece in the August edition of Trends in Plant Science, which states, there is no evidence that plants require and thus have evolved energy-expensive mental faculties, such as consciousness, feelings, and intentionality to survive or to reproduce.
This was a bit of a mouthful. Sorry. So let's put the sciencey part aside for a moment. What really intrigued me about this news article was I got to thinking about the connection between caring deeply for a non-human organic being and the relationship that you would build with such a being, such as pets.
Yep.
Okay. I know many people who talk to their cats and dogs and arowanas, even though they
just slip that in there, arowanas.
Why not? They are pets too.
That's true. They are.
You wouldn't speak to tilapias because some fish are food, not friends. So I know many people who speak to their pets, even though they're positive that no human verbal response will ensue. So I feel that we talk to beings that we care for, and I can't imagine that it would be any different for those who love and look after plants. So I asked Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail, the president of the Malaysian Nature Society, whether he thought that there was any basis to this at all.
These people have been talking about the plant response to voice since many, many years. I think maybe in 19th century or so, people start talking about this. The people always say those who love plants always talk to plants. Sometimes at night they talk to plants. But there are many theories behind it. I'm not an expert in that. But I think if you learn basic science, there are people will respond to, a plant will respond to any vibration, for example. So maybe when we talk to plants, we produce some vibration. You see, that make a plant responding to it. Or another thing, maybe when we speak to plant, we produce carbon dioxide. So this carbon dioxide needed by plants for their photosynthesis. So this is the thing that may be related to that. I think it's a good idea if we have more studies to respond it scientifically. Why or how people say plant respond to this voice, you know. I think it's significant to do it because especially when the current environment, people need the green environment in the house area, and then what make or to encourage plants is growing better. People said ladies' voice is better or encourage more growth in plants compared to men. So we don't know right answer how the scientific evidence, how the vibration and the carbon dioxide responded by the hormone system in the plant. So this is worth to study.
So Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail made it clear in our conversation that plants will respond to changes in their environment, be it vibrations or even a change in the composition of the air around them. But other plants are capable of even more sophisticated behavior. Mm. The article in Science News where I found the story notes that wounded leaves can send warning signals to other parts of the plant and noxious chemicals can deter munching predators.
Mm. But Lincoln Taze's argument is that plants perform these feats with a rather simple response system in place, and more importantly, it's a system that's not controlled by a brain.
Yes.
So Taiz contends that sophisticated animal brains evolved in part to help an organism to catch a meal and also to avoid becoming one.
Yep.
So why would a plant that is rooted to the ground and dependent on sunlight for energy require a complex nervous system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as he puts it, plants have a sedentary lifestyle, so the energy required to power awareness would be too costly, and the benefit from such awareness too small. So, and he asks, and Thais asks, what use would consciousness be to a plant?
Well, I have a question in return. So if a plant does not have consciousness and it doesn't have feelings, does that preclude us humans from being kind to it? Are you only supposed to be kind to beings who can reciprocate in some way, shape or form? Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail was happy to weigh in on this too. So, you know, it's definite that plants thrive under kind conditions, right? So if you give them the right amount of water, if you give them the right amount of sunlight, they definitely thrive. But do you feel that this might also extend to the way that they are treated? That means if you are nice to a plant, it's more likely that it will grow better.
Oh, definitely. You see, people in agriculture industry, they have to look at the plant every day. People in gardening industry also, they have to look plants. When you look at the plants every day, you know what plant needs to grow, right? Not just food fertilizer, plant the tree and put a fertilizer and leave it. You have to look at that, what nutrient that they are lacking. Say, for example, if the basic nutrient and nitrogen, phosphorus and potassium, what they need to grow. So based on that, the planters or the people who love plants, they will look at what nutrient that plant needs. So that's why when you have in the house, the small garden, when people go to the plants, look at the flower, talk to the plant, and what are lacking. They need water, they need lights, for example. Sometimes people like some plants to put in their house. So they are outdoor plants, but they put in the house. So after a certain time, they need exposure to light. So they have to take it out and leave it for the 1 or 2 weeks outside and bring it back again. So meaning that human touch is very important to make plants grow.
And besides the human touch, I really feel that being nice to your plants is also important. Unlike a certain other husband person that I live with at home who regularly yells at orchids and lime trees in our house to fruit and flower more. Why won't you?
He's an Asian parent.
Then I have to go, as soon as he leaves, I have to go and say, don't take it to heart. It's all right. You take your own time. Okay, nobody's compelling you to fruit or flower. Everything in its own time.
Given that the best of my experiences with plants have resulted in cacti dying.
Impressive.
Yeah, I know. It takes some skill there. I feel like the biggest social service I could do to plants is to not talk to them and to ignore their existence.
You could read poetry to them. Southeast Asian poetry.
Maybe that's what I haven't been doing enough of.
So, do you talk to plants? Do you know people who talk to plants?
No, I don't. I don't talk to plants. I mean, my dad loves his garden, mm-hmm. and I don't. He doesn't talk to his plants, but he's much more careful in you know, making sure they are watered, pruning them, like putting fertilizer. And I think that's also a way of, you know, being nice to your plants, and then in that way you're making sure that they get the nutrients they need, and then they grow nicely and bear a lot of guavas.
So Lincoln tastes
guavas.
Yes,
that's very specific.
Yes, a lot of guavas.
We know what Sue Ann wants out of her garden. So Lincoln Tase's argument is the fact that, you know, plants can't have consciousness, they don't have feelings whatsoever. But does that mean that we shouldn't be treating them with kindness just because they can't feel it? I know this is getting a little bit kind of highbrow.
Slightly highbrow. No. I was going to say like slightly hippy-dippy.
Yeah, fine. Hippy-dippy is done.
No, but you know what I was going to say? Mm. What I was going to say was that at the end of the day, I feel like it doesn't matter so much. It doesn't matter to me so much what the plants get out of it.
Okay.
Because I feel like learning to be kind or to speak well or to put care into something mm-hmm. benefits us.
Yes.
I think we become better people by learning to care for something other than ourselves.
Right.
And so in some ways, I don't know if it necessarily matters so right. much. I mean, whether it's a, you know, pet rocks used to be a thing at one point, right? Mm. You know, when I was a kid, I used to be mad about those sea monkeys that they conned us into buying, where you just put some powder into some water and you think something's growing in there, right? But at the end of the day, we get something out of that idea. We yes. get some idea that we're nurturing something, that something is responding to us. Mm. And, well, what's wrong with that?
But could you love even the yucky ones, like okra plants or Venus flytraps, for example?
I love Venus flytraps. They're adorable little things.
Your face. Okay, go on. Tell us about your love for Venus flytraps.
I mean, then. Yes, they eat insects, but they're still very cute. Who wouldn't love them?
Lots of people.
Lots of
and
people.
And insects wouldn't love them.
Sharmila, you make a really good point about the fact that caring for something, whether it's inanimate or not, does instill empathy, right? Mm. And given the work that the Malaysian Nature Society does, Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail was also delighted to share how the organization gets children interested in caring for plants.
Prof, do you feel that if we perhaps teach people, especially children, that plants are conscious beings, that it might help them respect plants a little better and care for them a little bit more deeply?
Oh, yeah. We are doing it. Malaysian Nature Society, you know, the urban community forest in our headquarters in Jalan Kelantan. We do it every Saturday. People come here, bring their children, and then learn how to potting the plants, understanding about seedling, understanding about plant growth, so that they can learn basic science, develop interest in science, and then we go towards what government wants, citizen science. So we understand science through plants. And plants, what plants can give us, oxygen, for example. So from there, people respect, appreciate the plants. So we bring children in the urban community to learn about plants. Then they appreciate plants and they enjoy planting the plants. And then they understand that they need oxygen from plants.
Oh, I wish I had.
Right.
I wish I had that when I was growing up. Perhaps I would have killed as many plants.
Sorry. You guys are awful.
A bit of technical difficulties here. I mean, we've been talking a lot about kindness and consciousness and, you know, the idea of empathy when we're caring for plants. And you know, but of course, there's a very compelling reasons to be kind to plants. And because the Earth as we know it today without plants would be uninhabitable. We have no oxygen.
Actually, I saw a really, really terrifying infographic that laid out in over the course of years what would happen if plants died out, if we didn't have plants at all. So it's not just about oxygen and about our food stores and things like that, right? It does kind of affect the chain as a whole. So apparently, if all the plants in the world died out, humans would only last for another decade plus, about 13 years or so, before being wiped out.
So that's for purely selfish reasons, we should be nice to our plants.
Definitely go home and have a kind word with a plant today.
So what about a final check-in on what is our social media poll saying?
So we were asking you on Twitter, do you talk to your plants? So 45% of you said, I am Groot.
Which means they do.
Yes.
Well, we don't know. We don't really know.
Because I am Groot can mean anything.
And many things.
And many things. And all things.
Yes. That's true. But 22% of you do say that, yes, you talk to your plants all the time. Another 20% of you say that, no, of course not, you don't. But 13% of you say that, yes, you secretly talk to your plants.
Never feel like you have to do these things secretly.
No, not in secret. Out in the open.
So you can keep that conversation going. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. We will be back after a short break for a quick wrap-up. But before that, here's If I Could Talk, I'd Tell You by The Lemonheads.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. Earlier on the show, we talked about the Southeast Asian Poetry Writing Month, which is currently happening where poets around Southeast Asia are writing one poem a day for 10 days.
We received a comment on WhatsApp saying that I've only known so far of Sheena Baharuddin, Nana, and a few of my friends who are artists and poets themselves. So I'm just hoping I get to see more exposure of Southeast Asian poets, especially when it comes to Malaysians in the future, especially as our culture in art and literature is garnering more attention.
Yeah, and you can check out Sipo Remo on Facebook if you are interested in Southeast Asian poetry.
In our second story, we talked about a news article where a biologist was sharing his it was a little bit of an unsubstantiated rant about how plants do not have feelings. In fact, some people did say, other scientists in the community did reach out to him and say it wasn't really fair for him to say that when there was an overwhelming amount of evidence that started to point towards plant neurobiology.
Mm-hmm. And in relation to that story, we asked you on Twitter, do you talk to your plants? So 45% of you said that I am Groot. 22% said that yes, you talk to your plants all the time. 20% say that no, of course not. But 13% of you say he do it secretly. And we also had a tweet in from Jasmine saying that my dad talks to plants all the time because he likes gardening, so he scolds them when they grow slow. He praises them when he sees them sprout or bloom. So, in fact, talking to plants for him is relaxing, and he's convinced that talking to them kindly contributes to their growth.
Well, if you've missed any part of the show, if you'd like to share your thoughts on either Southeast Asian poetry or on whether you talk to plants, you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. And if you've missed any parts of our show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, I will be sticking around to talk to artist Sharon Chin about her participatory artwork for the Singapore Biennale 2019. And she's calling for 100 volunteers to help her complete this work. So we leave you now with Speak Softly Love by Andy Williams, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.